Well, you can open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. We'll be studying verses 11 through 18 and thus concluding the book of Galatians. Next week, we'll begin with the book of Acts and study through the whole book of Acts. As you're opening to Galatians chapter 6, verse 11, we have to realize that we live in a world where marketing makes the difference of whether a company does well or whether it goes belly up. Think about it like this. How good really is a McDonald's hamburger? It's not really good at all, is it? McDonald's hamburgers, I mean, come on. It's a hockey puck in a piece of, you know, styrofoam bread. But they've marketed it in such a way that your kids are screaming for the clown. We want to go to McDonald's. Well, marketing can determine whether your company goes belly up or not. One branding strategy that has been used is based on three little words: new and improved. And they'll sell you on this concept of being new and improved. Now, if you think about this logically, the statement doesn't make any sense. If it's new, what are you improving on? If it's new, then it's new and it can't be improved. If it's improved, how could it be new? It doesn't make any good sense. It's impossible to be both new and improved in the natural world. Now, think about it like this also, especially if you have pets, like dogs, if you have dogs. The question I have is, when you go to buy your favorite brand of dog food and all of a sudden it's labeled new and improved, how do they know? Is there some guy down at the Purina dog chow plant who's sitting there going, No. Oh yeah, that's it right there. That's new and improved. I don't know about that. Somehow they come to some conclusion that dog food is new and improved. I don't know how. But you see, the Judaizers were offering a new and improved Christianity. That's what they were offering. Now, it really wasn't new and it really wasn't improved. It was old and worn out. But they were offering it as something that was new and improved. And today, as we conclude the study of this book, Galatians, we're going to see the importance of having both the brand name Christianity as well as the substance of what the name entails. We're going to see the brand name in verses 11 through 13. We're also going to see how Jesus can make, He can make us brand new. So the brand name is important, but then entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ, well, it'll make us brand new. We'll see this in verses 14 and 15. And then we'll see the importance of branding in verses 16 and 17. And so, brand name, brand new, and branding. Jumping into the first point, brand name. Look at the text very quickly. Galatians 6, verse 11. Paul writes, "See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh." You see, when we're talking about a brand name, a brand name is a trade name for a product or service produced by a particular company. It's also the name of a distinctive type or kind of something. Brand names can become popular for different reasons. Many times, it's because of the quality of the product. There's a certain quality of this product that has this certain name, and so the brand name becomes high commodity. It becomes a sellable name. They might even just sell the name to another company. The company starts making an inferior product, but because it still has that brand name that became famous from this really well-made product, well, it continues to be sold as if it were that quality product, though it no longer is. You're just buying the name now. But a lot of times, brand names become popular because of the quality of a product. With the popularity of a brand name, soon to follow in the wake of the sales is what? The knockoff brands, right? You might, someone was talking about how they went to the flea market and they saw an Alpine stereo, but if you looked real closely, it looked like Alpine, but it was really Alfine. And the P had just been changed a little bit to actually be an F. I went to the dollar store. I usually buy my sunglasses there. I can't see paying $100 for a pair of Oakleys. But there I was in the dollar store, and there I saw on the rack $1 for a pair of Oakleys. Now I realized that they were fake-lees. They weren't Oakleys. And I had them, and I came home, and my wife was just like, "Where did you get a pair of Oakleys?" "At the dollar store." "Oh." "Yeah." Well, the other day I get into my car, and I was putting them on, and next thing you know, clink. And it's just like, yeah, they're fakelies. They fell apart within 3 weeks. That's okay. 100 weeks of that, and I'll have all the glasses I need. The original, when we're talking about the original, that even becomes a sellable brand name in and of itself, tagging the original onto a certain brand name, suggesting, hey, we were the original. And so, amongst the knockoffs, amongst all of the fake Gucci purses that you find at the flea markets and the Alfine stereos and the fakely sunglasses, there needs to be the original found. Well, when it comes to religions, Christianity would be sort of a brand name. It's a brand name amongst all the different names of religions. And with Christianity, there is an original Christianity, and then there's a bunch of knockoffs. There's a bunch of fakes. There's a bunch that would claim to be the original Christianity, and they would point back to the first century church, but really the teaching is something very much different than the original. Paul was reminding the Galatians that his doctrines, what he is teaching, what he taught when he was in Galatia, that is the original. And the Judaizers, well, they were offering a knockoff. Galatians 6:11 again says, "See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand." Paul typically would have dictated his letters and somebody else would have written them down. Different commentators speculate on why there were such large letters. Some say that because Paul had bad eyesight. Others would say because he wanted to emphasize. It's kind of like when you're typing a message and you're upset, you type in all caps to make sure the other person realizes that you're yelling at them. Maybe he's writing in all caps here and creating a tone with that. But to me, I look at this and I see Paul saying, hey, this is the original. And so I'm going to take over the last portion of this letter and write with my own hand so that you know that I wrote this. This is the original, not one of the knockoffs that the Judaizers are offering to you. Paul was also warning the Galatians of the knockoff brands of Christianity that the Judaizers were trying to sell them. Look at Galatians 6:12 and 13 again. "As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ." You see, Christians were beginning to be persecuted. They were beginning to be considered a cult because they weren't the Gentiles were not circumcised. And so the religious leaders were saying, hey, if they want to be a part of our religion, then they have to be circumcised. If not, then we're not going to allow you to be part of our workplaces, our families. We're going to ostracize you. We're going to anathematize you, and you have to be out of here. The Judaizers were trying to come up with a compromise. Hey, you know what? We can all be Christians. We can all just get along if all you Gentiles would just be circumcised. And yet, in doing that, they stepped over a line leaving original Christianity and creating what we call a cult or a sect, a knockoff, an imitation. Verse 13 goes on, "For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh." Paul is warning them that this form of Christianity bears the brand name, but the quality is missing. The substance of Christianity is not there. Christianity says that salvation comes by faith, and faith alone, according to God's grace. The Judaizers were saying, hey, to be in right standing with God, there's some things that you still have to do. Not true. You see, brand name Christianity would never attempt to make a showing of the flesh. Brand name Christianity would never compel you to be circumcised. It would never compel you to join this church or that church. It would never compel you to wear a certain headpiece to cover your head or make sure that you wear your skirt a certain length. Or this is not what Christianity is about. Brand name Christianity would never choose the wrong path to avoid persecution. And that's what the Judaizers are doing. They're attempting to avoid persecution by taking what they thought was the simple road. But that simple road leads straight into legalism. Brand name Christianity would never expect others to keep the law, knowing that it is impossible to keep the law. Paul says that, hey, those people that want you to be circumcised, yeah, they might be circumcised, but circumcision is part of the law, and they're not keeping the law. They just want you to be circumcised so that they can avoid the persecution. But what they really want you to do is to attempt to keep the law, which they themselves cannot even do. It's a bad imitation. Brand name Christianity would never boast in the flesh of another. You can always tell the difference between the converts of Christ and the converts of Bungie. It's very simple to tell. The converts of Bungie, they want to boast in the flesh. The converts of Christ, they want to boast in Christ and Christ alone. It's the knockoffs, though. It's the knockoffs. No matter what the name is, they will always expect more out of you than they're willing to give. They're always going to expect more out of you than they themselves are willing to give. Beware. Beware of those kinds of leaders. Beware of those kinds of churches that expect more out of you than they themselves are willing to give. They always want more than they can give. They always want more than you can give. They set a bar so high to be acceptable in the church that no one's acceptable. And yet the church is the place where we come and say, I'm acceptable not because of anything that I've done, but because of what Jesus has already done, what He's already finished. You see, it's kind of a turnaround here when we talk about Christianity, the knockoff and the original. Because typically, the knockoff costs less than the original. You go buy a pair of Oakleys and you're going to pay $100-some-odd. You go buy a pair of Fakelys, and it's $1, 99 cents plus tax, $1.06. But that's different for religions here. When we talk about Christianity, the original and the knockoff always costs more than the original. The original says it's free for the taking. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's being offered on the tray like Chick-fil-A in the mall. Here, just take one. And you get a free toothpick to pick your teeth afterwards. And the Apostle Paul is saying, just take Christ. Try and see. It's free. But the knockoff always wants to charge you more. Name brand Christianity is free. It's placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what He accomplished on the cross. The knockoff brand tells you that you must keep these rules, these laws, or else you're not acceptable. The knockoff version of Christianity will always pressure you into accomplishing the law by the power of your own flesh. You see, Galatians 6:12, look at it with me again. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised. This word compel means to persuade or force. This was the same kind of pressure that Paul himself had placed on the church prior to his conversion. He was going around compelling Christians to keep the law. He was pressuring them and even taking them and putting them in jail and casting his lot against them when it came time to determine whether this Christian would live or die. He imprisoned the saints and compelled them to blaspheme Jesus Christ. They would beat these Christians and torture them until they would cry out blasphemies against God. And they wouldn't. He was compelling them. And these Judaizers were compelling the Galatians. Maybe not beating them, but certainly putting verbal pressure on them that they weren't good enough until they entered into this covenant with God, the Abrahamic covenant. But let me ask you, which covenant is more important, Abraham's or Jesus? Pretty simple answer, isn't it? Now Paul is watching the Judaizers compel the Galatian Christians to be circumcised, not unlike he was compelling Christians before to do similar things. They're attempting, the Judaizers, they were attempting to force the Galatian Christians to accept their knockoff version of Christianity. The knockoff version of Christianity, well, it will always seek glory for itself. The people who present the knockoff brand of Christianity will always seek to glorify themselves. Look at verse 13, Galatians 6:13. You see, they're going to seek glory for themselves in the work that they convince you to do. It says, "For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh." To boast means to glory. Those who sell you a knockoff version of Christianity will always expect more out of you than they're willing to give so that they can glory in themselves for what they convinced you and compelled you to do. And so their glory is not in themselves and being able to keep the law. Their glory is in you and trying to get you to do those things. Paul is saying, warning. The knockoff version of Christianity is typically offered in the same name brand package as Christianity. Just like my sunglasses, right on the front and right on the sides, said Oakley. They said Oakley. They didn't cost what the Oakleys cost. They didn't last as long as the Oakleys would last. But it looked like I had a nice brand of Oakleys. This is what the knockoff brand of Christianity wants to provide. They want to provide you something that looks like Christianity, but the substance, well, it's not there. So the warning is just because someone claims to be a Christian, just because someone knocks on your door and says, "Hi, I'm from the Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints, and I'd like to tell you about Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done for me, and, you know, Jesus this and Jesus that, and Jesus is so great, and Jesus is our Savior." To dig a little deeper, you would only find out that, yeah, Jesus saved you so that you could be resurrected to stand before God and receive judgment for your good and bad works. That's not Christianity. They might knock on your door and say, "Hi, we're from the Watchtower Society. We're Jehovah's Witnesses." No, we are Jehovah's Witnesses. We are the witnesses of Jehovah. They are witnessing for something totally different. And as I stood outside of a coffee shop with a Jehovah's Witness who was trying to evangelize me, I said, "Are you Jesus Witnesses or are you Jehovah's Witnesses?" "We're Jehovah's Witnesses." And I grabbed his magazine, I opened it up, and I said, "Is that Jehovah?" "No, that's Jesus." Turn the page. "Is that Jehovah?" "No, that's Jesus." Turn the page. "Is that Jehovah?" "No, that's Jesus." Well, where's Jehovah? All I see is Jesus, who's not the God, but just a God. Knock off brands, knock off versions, imitations of Christianity. Warning, do not fall into their groups. Just because a group claims to be Christian doesn't make it so. Just because a group claims to follow Jesus doesn't make it so. The question I have is, which Jesus are you following? A question which they're typically shocked. What? There's only one Jesus. Well, Jesus said that many would come in His name, so there must be more than one. There's only one true Jesus. There's only one original Jesus. But there's many knockoff Jesus. Many who claim to be the Christ. Don't follow them. Well, finally, the knockoff version of Christianity cannot deliver what it promises. The knockoff version of Christianity claims to deliver a changed life, but it cannot. Only the brand name original Christianity can make you a brand new Christian. Because only Jesus Christ, the true Jesus, the original Jesus, can make you brand new. So when we look at the idea of being made brand new, I love brand new stuff. Hands up, who likes brand new stuff? Who likes going clothes shopping and getting a new car? You know, we love the brand new stuff. I love the magazine Popular Mechanics. Guys? Huh? Oh yeah. You open up Popular Mechanics, what do they got? Cars of the future. Oh yeah, I don't want just cars that I can get down at the lot today. I'm not waiting for the 2006 Mustang. I want that thing that I've just never even imagined could ever exist. And it's right there in the pages of Popular Mechanics. And I just go, ooh, that thing is sweet. What, it hovers? That's what I need. I need a hovercraft. We could put Calvary South Austin on the side and use it to evangelize. They've got the new jets, man. They've got the new motorcycles. They've got off-road vehicles, all the newest technology when it comes to making little buggies so that they can just climb up trees and stuff. I am all about that stuff. And yet these new forms of transportation, well, they can't make you a brand new creation, can they? Every time I've gotten a new car, it's only made me a worse person. Don't touch my car. You can't drink in my car. What are you doing? Parking way out, you know, in the middle of nowhere so no one dings it. New cars only make you a freak. You look cool, but you're a freak. Well, since I can't afford all these cars of the future and stuff, then I love little technology, little gadgets. Don't you guys? You like the little gadgets? Man, I've got a cell phone which communicates with my Palm Pilot so that I can surf the internet wherever I am as long as I've got phone service. I also use my Palm Pilot to play MP3s. Man, I study the Bible on my Palm Pilot. I've got the whole Bible there. I manage contacts and calendars with my Palm Pilot. I don't even have just a cell phone and a Palm Pilot, but I've got a BlackBerry which connects me with all my emails so that no matter where I am, as long as I have phone service, my emails are coming in. And I've set it up to where all my email accounts all come to my BlackBerry so I can get all that whenever, wherever. I have a wireless headset that connects me to my cell phone. Whether I'm 30 feet away from my cell phone or not, I can just click and answer the phone or make a phone call. I love little pieces of technology, little gadgets, you know, that make me, you know, more proficient in what I do. And yet all of this new technology cannot change me and make me a brand new creation. We must also realize then that the religions that try to pressure you to comply, they compel you to enter into their version of Christianity, their rules cannot make you a brand new creation either. These are all exterior things, whether you're driving a new car or you've got a new technological gadget or you're doing some religious thing. These are all exterior and cannot make you a brand new creation. Only Jesus and the power of His cross can do that. Look at the text with me. Galatians 6, 14 and 15. It says, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. You see, while the knockoff version of Christianity boasts in themselves and what they can accomplish, Paul demonstrates that the original Christianity, made up of real Christians who have trusted in the true Christ, should only boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the cross is the foundation of original Christianity. The cross, this seems kind of strange to unbelievers. Because to bring it into the modern world, the cross, well, it's kind of like the electric chair today. Anybody here glorying in an electric chair? Anybody here have a little electric chair pendant? You know, you're walking around. You've got an electric chair on the wall in your house. Little bitty electric chair, just right there on the wall. You don't, do you? That's weird. What if the one who made you a brand new creation suffered and died for you to be that brand new creation in an electric chair? You might see people with electric chair pendants, an electric chair on their wall, and pictures of some guy in an electric chair, you know. You might have something like that. Why? Because the one who made you new provided that through death in that electric chair. Well, that's a fantasy right there, but in reality, we have a Savior, the one who made us new. He died on the cross. And so while the world looks at our cross and they don't get it, they don't understand what it means, some wear it as jewelry and don't even understand the significance of it. But what it means is this: Jesus Christ, our Savior, hung and died on that cross so that we could be made brand new. Brand new, from the inside out. This is why so many songwriters have written so many songs. And I'll just name a couple of hymns. The Cross of Jesus, I Saw the Cross of Jesus, The Old Rugged Cross, The Sign of the Cross, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, Beneath the Cross of Jesus, and In the Cross of Christ I Glory. The purpose of each of these hymns, to boast in the glory that is in the cross of Jesus Christ. And don't get me wrong, guys. I want you to really get this. Christians, we don't glory in two pieces of wood nailed together. That's not what we're glorying in. Martin Luther said that, well, there was these little chunks of wood that were being sold in his time period, and they were claiming that these little chunks of wood were parts of the cross of Christ. He said that so many pieces of the cross had been sold in his time period that they could have built hundreds of crosses with them. Guess what? Don't buy a little piece of wood that's claiming to be the cross of Jesus Christ. It's not. We don't know where that cross is. It doesn't matter because we don't glory in two pieces of wood. That's not what we're glorying in. The cross, here's what Martin Luther said. He referred to it as all of the afflictions of the believers whose sufferings are Christ's sufferings. As Jesus hung on that cross, He took your sins, He took my sins, He took the sins of the world and suffered and was punished for those sins. He was our scapegoat. That's the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross is the price that Jesus paid to redeem you and to redeem me from the curse of the law. That is the cross, and that is what we glory in. It's how Jesus set us free. And it's the cross of Christ that affords us a brand new life. You see, as Christians, we are brand new. Galatians 6:15 says this, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation." Paul is saying that whether you get circumcised or not, it won't change you from the inside out. It won't make you brand new. It avails nothing. It means that it's worthless. and any other religious duty that you think that you can accomplish is not going to avail you anything until you first come to the cross and get right with God. We want to be brand new people. We want to be made brand new. And it's only by the cross of Christ that we can be made brand new. We need to be born again. Now, before I became a Christian, I have to confess, I did lots of drugs. I did lots of drugs. And these drugs would alter my mind. They would change me for a little while. But as soon as the effects of the drugs would wear off, I went back to being same old me with just a few less brain cells. Knowing that drugs weren't really changing my life, I began to look into the New Age movement, and I aligned my chakras, and I practiced Tai Chi. But it didn't change me. It didn't make me new or improved. Then I came to Jesus. I came to Jesus when I understood that I had sinned against God. I learned that He paid the price for my sins upon the cross. I asked Him to forgive me. And I begged Him to change my life. And He did. And He made me a brand new creation. I became new and improved. God made me a new creation. I became born again. And there's people out in the world that say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm just not one of those born again Christians. But you better be. Because those Christians who are not born-again Christians aren't Christians. The Bible says we must be born again. We need to be born again because it's in being born again that we're made new creations. We must be born from above, born again. And as a new creation, all things become new. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. We are born again, and we are made brand new. Brand new creation. This happens when we trust in what Jesus accomplished on the cross, when we believe in what He's accomplished for us. And we receive the forgiveness of our sins, we are then born from above, born again. And then we become brand new. Why then would we even think to return to those things that didn't change our lives to begin with? Some of us, well, we tried to do the religious route, didn't we? Some of us here, well, we tried religion, only to discover that it didn't fix us. It didn't change us. It didn't make us new. So why then do you come to Christ, become born again, only to go back to religion? Guy showed up here to drop off some of the new chairs that we'll be renting until the new chairs get here. And he came and said, what kind of church is this? I said, it's non-denominational. He goes, well, I don't know much about religion. I said, I don't either. I'm not religious. At times, people will probably think that I'm very irreligious. It's not about religion, is it? It's about a relationship. It's about being born again, made brand new, and in that, walking in newness of life. And if I've been made brand new, and if you've been made brand new, then the old things have passed away, and the world has been crucified to us, and us to the world. Look at Galatians 6:14. It says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. If we are brand new, then we need to stay brand new. Turn, if you would, hold your finger there in Galatians, and turn to Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, we're going to see this idea of continuing in newness of life. How do we continue to live as a brand new Christian? How do we continue to daily walk as a brand new creation? Colossians 3, starting in verse 1, it says this, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. What? We're a new creation, and yet we can be renewed through knowledge? Through knowing our Lord and Savior? Through reading the Word and getting the Word in us and discovering new things about God, we become renewed? I'm a new creation, and yet every day I can become renewed by waking up and spending time with God in His Word? It goes on that being renewed in Him, in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created Him, verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. We love becoming a new creation in Christ. Everything. I mean, the grass seemed greener to me. The air smelled better. I was blown away when I became a Christian at how much better life is as a believer. But then as I became to be challenged with the ways that I used to conduct myself, it seemed to get harder and harder. And then at times when I'd put the Bible down and I wouldn't open it up for a couple of days, I would struggle during those days, and not realizing that I need to be renewed every day, that I need to go receive the grace of God every day. Not to say that I lost my salvation yesterday and have to get it back today. But relationally speaking, every day I ought to be renewed. My mind needs to be washed again with the Word of God. To live as a brand new creation every day, well, every day we must set our sights on heaven where Christ is. We must get into His Word and get His Word into us. Every day we must put to death our sinful desires. And then we can live brand new every day. Then as brand new creations, well, we end up branded by our Savior's glory. I love that. When you think about branding, if you know much about marketing, branding is very important when it comes to presenting your name brand. What do I say when I'm talking about the golden arches? We know what the golden arches are. It's McDonald's. There are looks and logos that we easily recognize as being part of this one corporation. When I was a kid, if I didn't have a little alligator on my shirt, I wasn't cool. You had to have the alligator on the shirt. You had to have the blue jeans with the little red tag that said Levi. And you would spend $20 more on this pair of jeans or on that shirt than you would for just a regular shirt, a knit shirt, same cut, 3 buttons, no alligator. Now, you can't have that. Got to have the alligator. If you didn't have a members only jacket, right? I got some guy here in the church that said that he still has his. Members only jacket. If you didn't have a members only jacket, you weren't a member. Member of what? We didn't know. But it's members only. There was a look and a logo that made you who you were, supposedly. It was your ticket into the in-group. It's what marketers call branding. More recent examples would be products made by Abercrombie and Fitch, Hollister, Hurley, American Eagle, Doc Martens. I mean, these, you got to have these clothes to be in the in-group. And when you buy the brand names and keep up with the brand new, you end up brand dead. You're buying into their branding methods. This can also be seen in the Christian world or in the religious world. When you're following Christianity and living as a new creation, you become clearly branded with the persona of Christ. Look at Galatians 6, verse 16. "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." You see, when Moses would come down from Mount Sinai, he was branded with the glory of God. And they had to veil his face because it was so bright. They knew that he had spent time with God. When the Pharisees tried to rebuke Peter and John, they also saw the branding of Jesus on their lives. Acts 4:13 says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus." They had been branded. We need to be branded. We all end up branded in some way or another, don't we? But the question is, what do you want to be branded with? What kind of branding do you want? The Judaizers wanted the Galatians to be branded with their mark, circumcision. Another brand that's happening in the church today is wearing the little head coverings. I was on our message board. We have, with our TV show, we have a website, and part of the website, we have a message board. Under the message board, I went and saw that there was a lady who says, "I'm not telling all the other women what they need to do, but I'm a woman who follows the Bible." A little bit loaded statement there. And she follows the Bible. Okay, that's a good thing to do, follow the Bible. How does she follow the Bible? Well, she wears an Amish headgear. And she gives a little website. And she means well. I mean, her desire is only to help people become better Christians. I realize that. The heart's not wrong, and I'm not questioning that. But what she's suggesting is that you have to wear the Amish-style headgear to be right with God, because the Bible says that women ought to have a head covering. But if you were to read the whole verse, then you would understand that it says that, well, if you're contentious about this, then the churches of God have no such custom. It was a localized event. There was one area right there in Corinth where it was ungodly for men to pray with their heads covered and for women to pray with their heads uncovered. In the Jewish culture, men were supposed to have their heads covered. So it was just a difference of opinion within a certain culture. But now today, it's just like, you know, we go to pray and guys start taking off their caps. Why do they start doing that? Because the Bible says that men shouldn't pray with their heads covered. Well, no, that was a cultural thing in Corinth. If you see me praying with a hat on, I mean, I'm not disrespecting God. Just as much as the women who don't have their heads covered aren't disrespecting God. But she wants people, you know, women to have these Amish head coverings. So I asked her, I said, you know, were the Amish head coverings around in the Corinthian times? Because I don't think they were wearing the Amish head coverings. So can women just wear a baseball cap? Would that suffice? And then I proceeded to tell her that the head coverings in the time of Christ for women actually covered their face too. And so I asked her, I said, do you also wear a veil over your face? So you've got the head covering and you've got the face veiled, and so all you see is the eyes? Because that's what they were doing in Christ's time. But she's not doing that. She's been branded by a style of Christianity that really isn't found in the Bible. Other churches, well, women can only wear dresses because women are not allowed to wear men's clothing. Well, in this world, pants are no longer considered men's clothing. They're women's clothing as well. Let's not get caught up into all these weird brandings that Christians get caught up into these little verses and it becomes everything to them. The grace of Jesus Christ is more important. So what do you want to be branded with? These exterior forms of branding where I wear the headgear, I don't wear the pants, I wear the dress. Of course, that would be weird for me. But, yeah, unless it's a kilt, you know, then that's okay. We need spiritual brandings, it's true. But these exterior brandings, they're not spiritual. They're carnal. They're fleshly. You see? What we need is spiritual brandings, brandings from the inside out. We need to be branded with, number one, as it says here in the verses, God's peace. If we live by this rule, what rule? The rule of being in glory, glorying in the cross of Christ. If we're going to live glorying in the cross of Christ, then we'll be branded with God's peace. This word peace means the tranquil state of a soul, assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God, and content with its earthly lot, of whatsoever sort that is. So when a bad thing happens to us, and we're solid, and we say, hey, you know what? God's will be done. God's will be done in my life. And I'm content with whatever that is. And the world looks at that and sees the peace that you have, in the hardest of times even. They go, man, I'd be freaking out right now. But you've got this peace. Where are you getting this peace from? And you're branded. They see it. They see the peace of God in your life and they want some because they don't have any. We need to be branded with God's mercy. It also says that those who live by this rule, mercy is upon them. Mercy is kindness or goodwill towards the miserable and the afflicted, joined with the desire to help them. When we desire to help those who, well, they might not be able to help themselves. When we desire to reach out to those who, they don't know the goodness of God. When we desire to spend our time to show mercy to those around us, the world looks at us and goes, what do you got? What is this? Where is this mercy from? We got Him. It's Jesus. We're branded with Jesus. We also need to be branded with God's suffering. With God's suffering. Anybody like hearing this news? In verse 17 it says, from now on let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. What did Paul mean when he said that he bore the marks of Jesus? You see, a mark is something that's pricked in or branded upon the body. To ancient Oriental usage, slaves and soldiers bore the name or the stamp of their master or commander branded or pricked or cut into their bodies to indicate what master or general they belonged to. And there were even some devotees who stamped themselves in this way with the token of their gods. Paul's saying, I'm branded. My body is branded with the marks of Jesus. And today there are those who have what's called stigmata. They bleed from their hands and their feet. The problem with this idea, that it doesn't really make them holy or in God's will or something. Because they bleed from here and here. Christ was crucified here and here. So they're a little off, you know, in actually having the marks of Jesus. So stigmata, I don't know what that is, but these aren't like the wounds of Christ appearing on this person, or else they'd be bleeding from here and here. Paul's not talking about that he has stigmata. He's talking about the suffering that Christ suffered with. And while Christ physically suffered the persecution of the cross, that's not necessarily the suffering that Paul is talking about, the marks that he's talking about. You see, all in all, Christ was punished for doing good. In his time period, it was a cross. In this time period, it might be the electric chair or gassing. The method of the death isn't what's important. It's the idea that you have God in the flesh who only did what was right. He was punished for it. So when we go and do what's good, when we go and do what's right, when we go and do God's will and we are persecuted for it, we also are branded with the sufferings of Christ, being punished for doing good, being reviled for preaching God's truth, being fired for teaching people at work about God, being failed in a college course because we challenged the teacher's teachings when it came to Christ. This will be true of all who are branded by God. So when you are laughed at, when you are made fun of, when you're thought to be crazy by your friends and family for your beliefs, you're wearing the brand of your Savior, and so you ought to rejoice. But there's one last branding that Paul speaks of in his concluding words. Look at verse 18. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Paul concludes this book with grace. And that's what this book is about, is grace. It's about the grace of God. The book of Galatians is a book which is primarily focused on God's grace. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. If you've truly trusted in Christ, then you will be branded with God's grace. And grace will rule in your life. And Jesus will be seen in your actions, your comments, your decisions. Everything you do, if you're branded with Christ, then grace will be evident in your life. And so, as grace is evident in your life, it will naturally flow from you. And the world, as it sees the grace of Jesus in your life, they want some. The world wants grace. And they're going to come to those who have been branded with the grace of God. They're going to come and want some from you. And so I conclude the study of the book of Galatians with the same conclusion that Paul wrote to the Galatians. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Lord,